welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
We started a new series, and we kicked it off with this verse. It's very familiar to many of us. It says Psalm 46, verse 10, and it says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." We love that part, right? We've talked about it. We want to be still, but we've missed the other part of the equation is now we have to know God. Now, this isn't know of God. Now, we get to enter into a personal, intimate relationship with him. And we know that part of that takes work. And with any relationship. And so we recognize that the practice of being is directly related to our knowing of God. What I'm trying to say here is you will not find that stillness until you know God. And like I said, no is not, yeah, I know God. We check that off the box. We're good to go. No, this is now we know God because there's a relationship that's happening. There is a knowing of God. Each and every day I learn something new about my wife. Each and every day I learn something new about my kids. Each time I learn new things about my friends because I'm in the process of knowing them. And that's what God has for us. The way we begin to know God is we look at the person of Jesus in his full humanness and his full divinity is we are going to be looking at his character and his life rhythms to learn what it means to be, to practice being. Because we're called human beings, not human doings. We need to first be human doings. So last week we learned that we are valuable. Every human being is valuable. No matter what race, color, ethnicity, no matter what social standing of what kind of finances they have, what family they came from, it doesn't matter. God says you're valuable, period. We learn that we need to learn the value of rest because it's when we learn to rest, we learn to trust in God's character. And we learn that we need to move with God. We get to move with God. It's not about doing things for God. It's about doing things with God. In part of our midweek devotional that we learned this week that we posted on our social media accounts, we learned that when we choose the right be, the do has a greater impact. And so that's why we need to start with the be. Forget about doing things. Let's be with God. And today we're talking about one of Jesus's most important rhythms that kind of sets the standard for everything else. When we begin to understand this rhythm, we actually make different life decisions and choices. It actually begins to dictate how we make the life decisions and choices. And it's this. Today we're talking about Jesus's rhythm of knowing his purpose. Jesus knew why he existed. Jesus knew why he was on this earth. Do you know why you're here? Do you know why you exist? Do you know why God put you on this earth during the 80s, the 90s, the 70s, the 60s? I know you may not remember the 60s, but you were put on earth for the 60s. Here in 2020, do you know that you are not here on accident, but you are here on purpose? Can you imagine if you knew that rhythm, that everything that you, every decision you made in your life was based off this purpose? Jesus knew his purpose. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is like Jesus' mission statement. This is who I am. This is his personal, like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, he's a way for the lost and the broken. We just sang that song, Waymaker. That is who Jesus is. It's not what Jesus does. It's who Jesus is. He says that he's the truth of the kingdom of God, not a religious dogma, but a heart surrendered to God in faith. That's the truth. It's not about your laws and your rituals. He says that Abraham was justified by his faith, and he is now proclaiming this truth. And then he is rescuing people from the grip of eternal death. He is bringing life. This is who Jesus is, the way, the truth, and the life. And if you know Jesus today, you know that he has made a way for you. You have received the truth, and you are now living not only life here, but you get to celebrate life in heaven when our time has come. This is who Jesus is. This is his purpose. And this is what's great, is Jesus held on to his purpose and made it very clear to everyone around him in pivotal moments of his mission. I'm just going to kind of list off a few verses here. We'll do our best to put them up on the chat for you, but these are just kind of ways for you to grab a hold of this concept that Jesus was very aware of this, of his purpose, and thus set the rhythm for his life. In John 12:27, it says, "For this purpose I have come for this hour. Father, glorify your name." John 17:4, Jesus prayed, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work for which you have given me to do." John 18:37, Jesus answered, "For this I have been born." Come on now. "For I have come into this world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Mark 1:38, Jesus said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach to them also, for this is why I have come for." And then Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save which was lost." Can you in your life say, "For this reason I was born"? Imagine how life would be different. Imagine how you would change even the way that you would make your decisions. See, when you find your purpose, you find your anchor, and everything else is based upon that anchor. See, the question in life is not, is this good or bad? Is this a good decision or a poor decision? That's, when you know your purpose, that becomes irrelevant, because your questions start becoming purpose-driven. Does this line up with my future hopes and goals? Will this lead me to the purpose? Does this fulfill the purpose that I have been given in my life? Because many of us, we've made really good decisions that have led to some poor outcomes. There's many of us, man, you went to the right school, you got the right degree, you went to the right job, but you're miserable because it does not line up with who you are, your DNA, your purpose in life. And so you got the degree, you've got the job, you may even have the paycheck. But inside, you're just yearning for something else, something greater, something more aligned with your heartbeat. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What we're going to recognize is what is keeping you from your purpose. It's not the quarantine, by the way. This is a great thing with God's purpose. It can happen anywhere, in any form. Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it frustration? Is it feeling inadequate? Is it insecurity? Is it a lack of resources? Is it a lack of faith? Is it a lack of belief in yourself? What is it that's keeping you from the very thing your whole body, your whole soul is yearning to grab a hold of? What is it? See, what we're going to find when it comes to these things that seem to hinder or keep us from our purpose, do you know that God actually uses them to refine you, to equip you, to prepare you for your purpose? Isn't that, I love it. We said this over and over again, but God doesn't waste anything. He uses every single thing to fulfill the purpose in you. Now, are we going to be at a place and position to take the opportunity when God brings it our way? So we're going to look at a few ways at how Jesus understood and lived out his purpose today. So take a breath. I know there's a big introduction. I know this is a big deal because I believe if we discover our purpose, lives change, families change, communities change. So let's go ahead and dive into this. Number one, write this down. Our purpose comes from God. Our purpose comes from God. It's a little bit of a continuation from last week, because we are to move with God, not for God. We move with him. We found that our purpose is in the Father. It's in God. Look at this in John 5:19. Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." So here's a big question. You're like, great, Jesus can see God. I haven't seen him. You're like, great, how do we see God? There's no one, like, you've seen those guys on the corner with the arrow and they're spinning it like crazy and pointing the arrow and doing a cool little dance and, you know, all those things. And we're like, there's no one doing that with God. They're not like, well, every once in a while you cut someone off, they point you to God, but, you know, point you to the heavens, but that's not quite what we're looking for. And so we recognize that we need to learn how to see God. This is a great thing. Did you know that you were created in the image and the likeness of God? It's not just it's our character, it's our personality. It's the way that we are made up. So the way that we begin to see God is we begin to recognize what God is actually already doing in you. What is he already doing in you? What are the dreams and the passions, the things that you love, the things that get you excited up and get up in the morning and go, yeah, let's go. Like, what is that thing that makes your heart start just beating like crazy? What are you passionate about? What do you love? What's your attitude toward people? There's some of you who are like, yeah, I need to be compassionate toward people, but you can't stand being around people. Well, there's some people that you're just kind of a jerk and you shouldn't be around people. But there's other ways that you can bless people in your personality, in the way that God has created you. And look at this. I love it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 8, these are what are called the gifts of the Father. Now, these gifts of the Father are given to every human being. That you don't even have to believe in Jesus to receive these gifts. These are gifts of the Father. It says in verse 4, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. We're all different. So we, through many who are one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having gifts to differ according to the grace given to us. We're all different. We're not all supposed to look the same. We're not all supposed to act the same. We all have different personalities, different gift sets. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts or encourages, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. These are all gifts that God has utilized and given us to be different, but for the equal able to use for one another for equal benefit. What are the gifts that you would identify in your life? I was laughing. This week was Administrative Assistant Day. And if you aren't aware, we have two incredible administrative assistants here at the church. We have Andrea, who helps oversees the finances and also is my assistant. And we have Abby, who oversees our Well College. But the reason why I need an administrative assistant is because I'm not administrative in any way, shape, or form. I'm going 100 miles an hour, and I need someone to go, oh, by the way, you should probably sign this piece of paper. Oh, by the way, you need to turn this in. And so I thought it was so funny. Oh, man, I'm telling on myself here. That I needed my administrative assistant to remind me it was Administrative Assistance Day. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one out there. Because I'm not administrative in that way. But I'm so thankful I have people around me that can help me in that way. Again, the kids life team, the tech team that's making all these things happen. And by the way, if you have not seen the documentary that our tech team put together to show you the behind the scenes look of the amount of hard work and skill and intelligence and gifts that are being utilized behind this camera, you need to check it out and watch it. Seriously, the least talented person in this whole thing is the one looking at you right now. Everyone is just behind this camera is just going, just doing absolutely incredible, really living out what Romans is talking about here. We need one another, and this is why Ephesians 2:10, one of my life verses, for we are his workmanship. Another translation says his masterpiece. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God created before, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You already have the beginnings of your purpose right now. It says that God prepared them ahead of time to do good in this world. Just if we could grab a hold of that, you are his masterpiece so that you can do good. His purpose is already in you. We just have to take the time and take the opportunity to look down deep to see what it is. So take time to think, to reflect, to pray, to ask trusted friends, to write things out, to be with God, to discover your purpose. You know what's neat about this? Your purpose isn't even about you. Your purpose that God has put in you is more important to him than it is to you. So when we start living out our purpose, it brings glory to God. And that's why Jesus says, I do all these things to bring glory unto him. This is about what living a purpose out. But number two, we'll write this down, is we have to be willing to protect your purpose, to our purpose. We have to protect it. Because haters gonna hate, all right? Haters gonna hate. And there are gonna be some people who do not align with your purpose. For some reason, we think popular opinion is law, and it can't always be. Now, there are times when popular opinion is important, but at this time, we have to surrender to what God is doing, not what people want you to do. There's a big difference there. There are times when you are pursuing your purpose and people are gonna go, I don't think that's a good idea, all right? You know that doesn't make a lot of money. Or have you ever been there before? Like, you're going to get every question in the world, and that's good. You need to be questioned on your purpose. Again, that breeds the diversity, and the adversity brings refinement to that process. But we have to surrender to what God is doing and not surrender to God to popular opinion. I love this in Matthew chapter 16, 21 through 23. We have a interaction here between Jesus and one of his best friends, Peter, all right? It says, from the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised, Peter took him aside. Peter's following Matthew 18, like he brought Jesus to the side. He said, hey, we have some conflict here. I don't think this is a good idea. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, that this shall happen to you. But Jesus turned to Peter's like, no, Jesus, this ain't happened to you. I'm going to protect you. We're not going to Jerusalem. Not going to happen. I love Jesus' comment. It says, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Imagine if your best friend said that. Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. How many decisions or advice have you given or received, changed God, your plans, because you're more concerned about what man thought than what God thought? Here we have that opportunity to stop and realize that Peter missed point number one. Our purpose comes from God, and there will be people who will come against that. Your purpose is never cookie cutter. It's never clean, and it's never organized. It's gonna be messy. It's gonna be foggy. It's gonna be unsure at times. It's gonna look like it's not gonna happen. And that's when God steps in, because it's God who's gonna receive glory and not us. So if you are looking and waiting for a perfect moment, you're waiting for a perfect utopian society, perfect utopian moment with your family to respond to the purpose that God has spoken over your life, you will never find it. Following God and his purposes are always gonna be messy, because that's where he calls us. He calls us into the mess. He's not afraid of our mess. So we need to stop waiting for perfection and just begin to seek him. God cares more about what he's doing in you than what he's going to do through you. Now, that's why it is important to discern. You know, three ways to discern if something's a purpose of God is, does it line up with his word? Obviously, in context, don't go crazy. Keep things in context, please. Does it line up with his mission? And then will it cost you something? Because if it doesn't cost you something, it's probably not God's purpose. Because when we follow Jesus, he tells us that it's going to cost us everything. I believe that God is doing an incredible thing, and he begins to release his purpose in you and I. And real quick, number three, you can write this down as we are going to go into a time of worship here to respond to the words that God is speaking to us this morning. Reinforce your purpose with guardrails. What values will you live out, will you celebrate that will help you stay in line with your purpose? See, when God rescued the people out of Egypt, he said, hey, here's a few commandments that will help you live out your purpose. See, the purpose that he gave them, the Hebrew people as they came out of Egypt, is you're going to represent me, the God of gods, the King of kings, to all the nations. So in order to do that, I should be the God you're following. You probably shouldn't lie, cheat, and steal, and manipulate one another. You should probably honor the past generations. These are values that are going to help as work as a guardrail to keep you on track. So when you start going wayward, you hit that value and keep going forward to your purpose. It's difficult to hit your purpose unless you set up these values. As a church, we have 10 core values that we teach through, that we keep to keep us in a line with the purpose of, to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus, the mission that he's given us. Jesus, if we look at just at his life, we recognize that his values was that he always included others. He practiced self-care. He took risks. He lived without offense, and he always sought out the Father. Now at this time, as we go into worship, I want you to take the moment to seek God. What is the purpose that he has in your life? And don't for a moment think your past disqualifies you for your future and your purpose. It doesn't. Don't think your past failures or successes disqualify you. God wants to do something in you. Allow him to take the dead things in your life and raise them to new heights. So let's worship together with your family, by yourself, wherever you may be in your living room. Get on your knees, stand up and lift your hands. But let's seek after the Father because I believe he has a purpose for your life. I absolutely love this song as it speaks to the way that God turns graves into gardens. The things that we may have thought were dead in life, that maybe it was your purpose that you thought was dead, but he wants to bring that to brand new life in you. And maybe you're listening today for the very first time. You didn't know that God loved you. You didn't know that God thought you were valuable, that your purpose is found in him, and that he wants to release something new in your life. And I believe that new thing is he wants you to discover his son Jesus. And so I want to give you an opportunity to, right there in your home, for you to receive Jesus, not only as your rescuer, but the one who makes a way in the darkness and the one who has brought truth in your life. That's why he came. He came to save you and I. And so if that's you today, giving your life to Jesus for the very first time, I want you to join me as we pray this together. And if at home you know Jesus already, begin praying for those who you know, family, friends that don't know Jesus. So let's do that. Lord, we thank you. God, in this moment, I recognize that I was far from you. But Lord, I want to be close to you. Lord, I receive your son Jesus as my personal savior. I give my life to you today. Would you help lead me in this new life? Would you help teach me truth? And would you continue to make a way, not only from heaven to earth to heaven, but as we live here on earth, to be a blessing and to love people around us. I give my life to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to celebrate those of you who gave your life to Jesus for the very first time today. If that's you, there's a link in the chat right now that you can click on. And you can fill that out. That lets us know who you are. And we can send you some information via email or address so that we can get you on this process to begin to follow Jesus. Well, I want to invite Aaron up here with me as we are almost done concluding today. But I want to encourage you to encounter Jesus. Maybe you've known Jesus for 1 minute now, or you've known Jesus your whole life, that you would encounter him. Would you take the time to discover your purpose? Maybe you accomplish your purpose and God is doing a new purpose in you. Seek after that. You're not done. If you're on this earth, you're not done. It's huge to know that. Is establish your guardrails. What values are you going to have now as a person, as a personally, as a family, as an organization, as a company, as a family unit, whatever you are, wherever you find you need values that are going to help support and guardrail the mission, the purpose that God has for you. And then thirdly, be with God. And this whole time, as we begin to dive more into these spiritual disciplines, these rhythms that Jesus has, that we would just be with him. It's not about doing things for him, but about doing things with him. So I invited Aaron up here to pray for us as we finish our time together.
Well, I just want to invite you right now. This is something that we would do every single Sunday as a church family. And so I want to invite you right now to go ahead and hold hands with the people in your house, your spouse, your kids, whoever you're with this morning. Go ahead and grab their hand. This lets us know that we are not in this alone, that we are here with each other, walking through this together, and we can discover new things about Jesus, encounter him, and display him with community and with each other.
And if you're, you may be at home and you're like, I am by myself. Like, this is where I'm at right now. I want you to know this. You're not. We may not be physically holding your hand, but we are spiritually, we are emotionally, we think you're valuable. And so I'm going to lift my, just know that, like, whether you're a widow at home, you're single, or whatever the, you fill in the blank. You are not alone. You are a part of this church community.
Mm-hmm. So for those of you who may be in your home alone, I just want to invite you to go ahead and lift your hand in the air.
Yeah.
Lift your hand in the air. Let's go ahead and pray together. Lord Jesus, we come humbly before you, dear God, and we just ask that you help us in this journey and this adventure, Lord, towards our purpose. Dear God, I pray that you will remind us so sweetly, dear God, that our purpose is not in vain. Mm-hmm. God, Eric said it so amazingly that this quarantine is not stopping our purpose. Yeah. Dear God, you have placed it before us, Lord, and we can trust in you and we can know that you have us in your hands, dear God, and that you have our purpose planned out for each and every one of us. So, Lord, I ask that as we go along with the rest of our week, dear Lord, that you be with us, that you speak to us, God, that we just be with you. Mm-hmm. Just like Eric said, that we will be in your presence. Mm-hmm. Lord, we love you. We thank you in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we are so incredibly thankful for you all. Continue to chat there in the room. Let us know that you're here. Make sure to like and share this video. Again, can you imagine if you're struggling with finding your purpose and you stumble across something like this because you shared it? These are the things that can change lives. So don't forget, Kids Life is directly after this. So you can be a part of that. So much fun. Seriously, even if you don't have kids, check it out and do all the activities.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot cool.
I do it with my kids.
Yeah, we had a stuffed animal pillow fight, right? Talking about the shield of the faith.
Yep.
So yeah, super cool. You guys are loved. We are so thankful for you. Cannot wait to spend time with you in the future. And have fun in your connect groups and in our Facebook page and everything else. Stay connected the best that you can. Again, thank you for joining us. If this was your first time, we're glad that you're here. Have a fantastic week.
Bye. Love you all.
Thank you for listening to The Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.